This is the time when we have to be the loudest, the most vocal, the most courageous in the face of this full court press to shut us down. Because if we don't start making noise now, if we don't start showing these people that we're not intimidated and we're not afraid, if we don't start talking louder instead of more softly, then we will choose the path of fear, and that fear is going to accelerate and accelerate and accelerate until we are cowering in our basements waiting for the knock on the door. And we're not going to let that happen, because this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we're not built that way. It's not going to happen like that. These bastards haven't got the faintest idea what they've unleashed, but they're about to find out. When Donald Trump decided to pick a slogan for his campaign in 2016, unlike what the left will have you believe of conservatives, Donald Trump didn't come to the country with a slogan and a hat that said, "Worship me as a god." That's not what his message was. His message was, "Make America great again." Well, America's always been great, and he knows it, and we know it too. So this isn't about Donald Trump. This isn't, and Donald Trump was the first person to say that it was not about Donald Trump. This is about the home of the brave, and these bastards are not going to get us to be as afraid as they think they are going to get us to be. We're not going down that road, not going to let it happen. You're not going to let it happen either. If you're not ready to speak up and put your hands up or put your head up, okay. But if you can't spread the courage, then don't spread the fear. Okay? Can we agree on that anyway? If you're not ready to spread the courage, then don't spread the fear. Next time you're inclined to want to issue a post on a comment section or a Facebook post saying, "This is it, it's all over, they're just going to take over now, it's a matter of time until they pull us out of our beds," don't write that. If you can't write anything else, then just don't write that. And when you say, "Oh, this is Nazi Germany," don't write that. Everybody's fully aware of the threat. I don't think people need to be awoken to this mysterious, lurking underground threat. So if you can't spread the courage, don't spread the fear. We need to be turning around and looking at each other for support, not listening to these people, making us more and more and more terrified and more convinced that the fight's already over. The fight is not already over. The fight is not already over. The fight hasn't even started. We're Americans. We are built to defy authority. That's what's in our DNA. It's about time we started seeing some more of this. So govern yourselves accordingly. Govern yourselves as Americans. Don't forget the slogan. It's not just a slogan. It's either true or it's not. It's either the land of the free and the home of the brave, or that's an advertising campaign designed to sell pretty colors to American people or sell mattresses on President's Day, which I don't believe for one second. Do I believe that? Not one second. Be brave. That doesn't mean don't be afraid. And it doesn't mean don't be worried. For God's sakes, it means be courageous. Face what you're afraid of and speak louder. And if you can't speak louder, then don't spread panic. It is the common, universal position of left-wingers, especially here in California, I'm sure it's true around the country and around the world, that we're not qualified to know what the risk of this is. How can we possibly know how dangerous this is? This is a job for scientists. This is a job for Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci will tell us when it's safe to go back to our own lives. Assuming that Dr. Fauci was right in everything, and it's pretty clear that's not the case, Dr. Fauci, as I've said many times before, to put the very best light on this guy, is concerned with minimizing the number of deaths, but that due to this particular outbreak. Take Dr. Fauci out of it. Put Dr. Kildare in there. A doctor's job is to, especially a doctor advising on government policy and health and public health, their job is to make it clear what the public health risk is and to recommend cases that will minimize the total amount of people who become seriously ill or die. That's their job. But that's not the entire equation. That's not the entire equation. There are many, many other things in the equation that have to be factored in. A responsible government, a government of the people, a government that, in the words of this remarkable gentleman, trusts its citizens, would basically present the facts in an unbiased fashion and say that this is the conclusion that we come to, and this is the recommendation that we make based on that conclusion. That's not what we've seen at all. We haven't seen anything remotely like that. Sheriff Norris believes that adults are able to best determine what is in their own interest regarding their lives and their own health than he is, or the governor is, or the president is. He believes that if you have sick people at home, elderly people, people at risk, you're going to take extra precautions because you're an adult. And if you don't have any of those factors, He's not going to force you to take precautions that you don't need. That is the essence of self-government. That's the essence of it. That is the entire turning point of democracy and a republic, is that the citizens are capable of governing themselves, and they don't need to be told what to do, and they don't have to be told what to do. And that's why this letter is, to me, the sound of a free country. Just think about what's going on right now in Washington. Right now, right today, Nancy Pelosi and others are willing to rip open the country in order to satisfy her personal vendetta. And all of this is not aimed at Donald Trump. It looks like it's aimed at Trump, but it's not aimed at Trump. It's aimed at you. It's aimed at the little people. You're the host organism that these people feed off of, and they don't want you getting out of line again. Now, some people go into politics for the money, and some people go in for the power, and others go in for the prestige. Most of them go in for all three. But once you're kind of firmly lodged inside the nation's gastrointestinal tract, and by that I mean the lower gastrointestinal tract, why do you think they stay? Pelosi, Newsom, Cuomo, Biden, Mitch McConnell, Hillary Clinton, why do they all stay in politics? What is it? They've got all the money in the world they could possibly ever want. What is it that they, and they're famous too, what do they want? Why do they stay? Well, they stay or want to stay in politics because they want to lord it over you and me, the little people. Gavin Newsom eating at the French Laundry restaurant while everybody else is locked down in the house is the reason that Gavin Newsom is in politics. Nancy Pelosi going to make a phone call, opening up a hairstylist, going in without a mask, doing what no one else is allowed to do, that's why she's in politics. How many governors did we see banning Thanksgiving on the way to their own Thanksgiving celebrations? How many governors did we see closing restaurants in their state and then having a lovely dinner indoors at a restaurant just across the state line? How can you possibly feel like a big man if you can't lord it over the little people? Now, the tragedy, I almost said irony, but it's not irony. The tragedy, of course, is that they are the little people. They are. The leaders, the elitists, our politicians, they're the little people. They're petty, vain, insecure, heartless, soulless, brainless death bots who think they can shoot lightning from their fingertips and wander around looking for something that will scream in pain when they do it. This country's politicians are the smallest people in the country. So what do we do about that? Well, I think the answer in this most cynical of all ages, I think the only way to deal with something on this level when everybody is so cynical is that we're going to have to resort to raw idealism. Yeah, I know a lot of people are going to be laughing at that. I don't care. I'm right about this one. What people want more than anything right now, everybody, is they want something to believe in. They want to believe that there's a future. It is irresistible that virtually everybody who goes into politics at any level, but especially at the national level, is going to succumb to the peer pressure of what the other politicians are telling them, the constant ongoing pressure from the largely extremely liberal, or progressive, I should say, immortal bureaucracy of aides and assistants. They're tempted by the argument that this is simply how things are done here and there's nothing you can do about it. But mostly they're tempted by the power and the fame and the money that comes while you're in office in order to get reelected. The way that politicians get rich while they're in office is they accept perfectly legal campaign donations, and since they are so determined to be reelected, then they realize, and the people who are writing the checks realize, that if I help this politician out with his reelection, which is his only reason for existence, he's not there for any other reason, he's there to get in on the gravy train and stay there. So interest groups realize that if they write a check to that person's re-election campaign, then they'll get something in return. They'll get a vote. And that's how it happens. Things have gotten so bad and people are so disgusted that, in my opinion, there's only one thing that could light this country on fire in terms of getting votes. If you're going to go to the American people with this completely idealistic of changing politics as it exists in this cynical age of ours, then the only way people are going to believe you is if you can prove to them that you're going to be as good as your word. And the way I think you do that is you create a political party that essentially has a brand, the way the Republican Party originally had a brand. And the brand is this. We believe in citizens running the country. We believe in actual democracy and democratic election to a republic of laws that apply to everybody. This is what our entire party is about. We believe in government of ourselves and by ourselves. We think that the professional, personal, eternal political class is the source of all of our problems here, and we believe in citizens. And so our promise to you is a very simple one. We will have every single member of this party sign a legally binding contract that says that they will not run for re-election for that same office. If we find somebody really good as a representative, then they can run as a senator or governor or president. But there's no incumbency. And that's our brand. That's our promise. And it's not just a promise. It's a contract. It is a legally binding contract. And people will ask you, well, what does that mean exactly? And then you say, well, it means that we don't trust ourselves or anybody to resist the temptation of public office. So we're going to tie ourselves down before we go to Washington or Sacramento or whatever. Just think about what an entire government of 435 representatives and 100 senators and a president and 50 governors look like if you just got away from the whole party, I think, get the whole party idea out of there, and just not look at them as Republicans versus Democrats. Just imagine a government of wise people, people with some humility, compassion, as I said, all of these qualities. What would this country look like with wisdom back in government? Because of all the things about the founding fathers and the miracle of the creation of this country and the Constitutional Convention and all of that, you find among those people all kinds of you find every human weakness, every one of them, vanity, greed, lust for power, lust for fame. You find false modesty. You find eloquence in defense of ideas that really don't deserve an eloquent defense. You find every single vice known to mankind in the Constitutional Convention. And what you find is that despite all of these flaws and defects of the human soul, you found a group of people who understood the human condition and built into the structure of the government that they created, they built wisdom into the system. It's built in. And it's so built in that you can have a government of fools and crooks, which is what we've had for quite a long time, maybe since the beginning. The system was designed by people who are so wise that the system is so wise that you can afford to have it run by crooks and idiots. But what you can't have is crooks and idiots destroying the system. And that's exactly what we saw. Impeachment is in there, and it's a very high bar to clear, and it should be a very solemn and sad and desperate last-ditch maneuver. And that is a wise thing to put into the Constitution. But when you simply destroy it by overusing it, now the crooks and idiots are outstepping the bounds of the system that's designed to contain their stupidity and their greed. Once you start to break down the barriers built into the government against stupidity and greed, then stupidity and greed can run rampant. And the wisdom of our founding fathers, which has basically stayed with us for 250 years because of the structure that they built, the idiot cage and the crook cage that they built to keep these people within the limits of what they can do. All of those separations are just being eroded away, and they're either gone or in the process of being gone.